Psalms 20 and verse, starting from verse 1. Amen. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and I pray that God gives me utterance to pass along a word. Hallelujah today. Father, we ask you to continue to work in this service. We thank you for filling this sanctuary. Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts, prepare the soil, make it good ground. Lord, that the word will be effective, that your power can be manifest, that we will be edified. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness and your grace, your love and your care. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God one more praise offering. Amen. I changed the title of this at the last minute. So the title of this is The Purposes of Trouble. Talk to your neighbor. Tell them, purposes of trouble. You're going to learn something today. Trouble has a purpose. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I want to concentrate or focus your attention on verse 1. David had his share of trouble. Amen. I don't think there's one of us in here that hasn't lived that doesn't have some trouble. Amen. I don't know about you, but every day it's got its own trouble. David said in Psalms 20, verse 1, he said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." David knew about trouble. You know, we're living in a world right now that is nothing but troubled. There is national trouble. There is worldwide trouble. There is personal trouble. We are in a season where every scripture on end times is being fulfilled. We're looking at a possible war starting sometime in the next month that could draw in a lot of the nations of Europe. And yet the world is oblivious to the fact that Jesus said this would happen. We have seen the pestilences. We've seen the pandemics. We've seen the plagues as prophesied also. Jesus said there would be wars, rumors of war, and anxiety and unrest. Men's heart failing them for fear. This is a day of worldwide trouble. If you looked at the stock market, it's fallen so much in this month. But I'm not worried about that because my stock market is somewhere else. Amen. Amen. My treasure is laid up somewhere else. Now, the reason why there is trouble is because we're living in a fallen and corrupted world. The Apostle Paul knew about trouble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, that have you ignorant." He was saying, just because I'm an apostle, just because I'm a pastor, just because I'm a teacher, don't think I don't have trouble. He said, "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." There can be a trouble that comes into your world, that comes into your personal situation, that presses you to the limit, where you almost feel like giving up, like you almost feel that there's no hope, that you might as well just throw in the towel. Paul experienced that. Jesus on the cross experienced that kind of trouble, where he said, Why hast thou forsaken me? There's times when we feel so all alone, when we're despaired, when the anxiety and the stress, because it is a day of trouble. If you're a true follower of Christ, you're going to know trouble. Amen. You're going to understand what it is to be under pressure. It's easy to go with the flow, to go with the crowd. You have less trouble that way. But when you're going against the world, when you're going contrary to what the world thinks is okay, you're going to have trouble. In Psalms 31, verse 9, David cried out. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." You ever prayed that kind of prayer? Amen. David knew how to pray. He said, "Lord, have mercy upon me because I'm in trouble." There were times when Saul was just about to capture him, when he was hiding and living in caves, when he was running for his life. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." I don't know about you, but I can pray that today. I've been praying that I want God to have mercy upon me. I need his grace because this is the day of trouble. He goes on to say, "Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." He was not understanding all the things that were happening to him. He had been promised to be king. He had been anointed when he was a teenager. And yet for maybe 15, 20 years, he was in danger of his life. He was hiding out. He was always on the run. He had no place to sit down and just dwell. He was in trouble. And he cried out. If you read some of the Psalms, many of them have the same phrase: the day of trouble. There is a day that comes when it seems everything is going wrong in your life. Sometimes it stretches out to a week of trouble, maybe a month of trouble. Some people it may be a year of trouble. But remember this, David and Solomon said that there is a season. There is a season. It's going to pass. The day of trouble will not last forever. Amen. You see, Jesus had told us about this. He warned us that there would be trouble. In John 16, 33, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." The only place we can find peace is when we truly trust and believe in God. Despite the trouble, I always am looking for God to come in and fix it. I'm looking for my deliverer. I'm looking for my miracle. Even when there is nothing else, there's no hope from man, there's no hope from a friend, there's no hope from my job, I know there's one place that there is above, hallelujah, hallelujah, that I can look for. Jesus said that in me, he might have peace. In the world, he shall have what? Tribulation. In other words, you're going to have trouble in this world. When you get up and go to work, there'll be someone there that gets on your nerves. There'll be some family situation that brings you pain and heartache and suffering. There will be some sickness that comes in your way. In this life, you are going to have tribulation. But Jesus doesn't end it there. He says, despite the trouble, you can still be of good cheer. You can still have a smile on your face. You can still come here today and worship. You can still clap your hand. You can still run around the church. You can still lift up the name of Jesus. He's telling us, be of good cheer. Why? Because he went through the trouble. Hallelujah. He took the trouble, so to speak. Amen. He says, I have overcome the world. The reason we have trouble, of course, you all know, it started in Genesis. When God declared that there was a state of war, you know, he didn't start it. You know, it's like on December 7th, Roosevelt got up into the Congress and he said that there is now a state of war. The war state didn't start when he said that. It started when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. The state of war existed when Satan deceived the woman. All God was saying, okay, now it's out in the open. We see where you're coming from, Satan. What I want to tell you is there is a day of trouble. And we don't like the day of trouble. It's not happiness. It's not joy. But Jesus told us, be of good cheer. You can still get through this. There is hope. There is life. Because I have overcome the world. See, when we're in trouble, we feel so crushed. We feel so hopeless. It seems that there is no way. When I was a teenager, I went through my times of real despair and trouble. I wrote a poem about it. It's a good thing that poem disappeared. It would put you to sleep and you wouldn't wake up. It was all my sorrow poured out on paper. There's nothing like teenage angst, as they call it. And sometimes it seems that Jesus isn't listening. It seems the storm is going around and nothing is happening. We see this in the story about the storm. And many times in our lives, we're looking up and we're praying and say, God, don't you see what's happening? Anyone said that? God, can't you come in now? Can't you get me out of this trouble today? I need your help now, Jesus. I can't get through this week. Paul understood. He said, pressed out of measure, despaired even unto life itself. But in Mark 4:37, the Bible tells us this story of this great storm and that waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It was no ordinary storm. The waves were not staying where they're supposed to. The water wasn't staying out of the ship. It was coming into the ship. And still, Jesus seemed to be asleep. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they got panicky. I've woke up God lots of times. I woke him up lots of times. I said, Jesus, can't you see what's happening? Carest thou not that we perish? That's what they called unto him. They were kind of upset that he was still there sleeping when the boat was filling up with water. Bad enough there was a storm, but now the boat itself was filling up with water. The disciples said, don't you care? You ever talk to God like that? God, can't you see my situation? This is my day of trouble. I don't know how to get it. This is my week of trouble. This is my month of despair. Can't you see what I'm going through? They said, don't you care? That must have really hurt. That must have really hurt Jesus, you know, because we ask him, don't you care? And we have no understanding of how much he has cared. We don't even see half the stuff he has done for us because it's hidden from our eyes. All around us, there are battles going on. Don't you understand? There are spiritual battles. There's warfare going on right now for your soul. And most of the time, God has protected you. You don't even see what he has done. You have no idea what he has saved you from. The accidents he's saved you from. The onslaught of the enemy that he's protected you from. Remember what David prayed? Send thee help from the sanctuary. The Bible says he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. The disciples asked, don't you care about us? Can't you see what's happening? I tell you, when you have trouble, that's your attitude. It hurts. You can't think of anything else. All you can think of is the immediate pain that you're going through, the suffering that you're going through, the headache that you're going through. And it's hard for us to understand that there is actually purpose in trouble. There is a purpose that there is trouble in this world, believe it or not. There is a purpose sometimes that there is trouble in the church. There's a purpose that there is trouble in your life. Because in the Old Testament, 10 times, the Bible speaks about the day of trouble. So it's not an accident that there is such a thing as the day of trouble. There is a way for God to bring a good purpose out of your trouble. Now, let me make it plain. God did not start this trouble. God does not want trouble in your life. When he created Adam and Eve, he created perfection. He created beauty. He created harmony. Above all things, he created love. There was no trouble. God looked at his creation and he said, it is good. And then he goes on to say, it is very good. When God pronounces something very good, there is no higher grade. There is no A++ above that. When God said it was good, there was no trouble. The trouble comes from the adversary. But here's the wisdom and the magnificence of God. He can find a good purpose in a bad trouble. I'm telling you that. I know you're all looking at me like, I don't see no way. Not my trouble. You're talking somebody else's trouble. My trouble has nothing good in it. But God can take a bad purpose, and because he is God, he can make it a good thing. Now, we don't want to hear that. We certainly don't like it. I mean, if I was sitting there, I'd be saying, what's he talking about? In fact, the trouble in our lives may not even have been our choice. We may not have created it. It could have been someone else's choice. In fact, we can prove that from the Bible. Romans 5:12 tells us where the trouble came from. Wherefore, as by one man, trouble entered the world. And death, and so death passed upon all men. Why? Because all men now get in trouble. All women too. You see, the trouble may not, the original trouble may not have been our fault. Paul tells us that. He says, by one man, death, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. We're on our way to death. Without Jesus Christ, that's where you're heading. That's what he's really saying. This trouble came into the world because of someone else. Let me show you a story. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, when Israel was camped against Jericho, and God said, okay, march around there 7 times, the wall's going to fall flat. But listen, because this is the first city in Canaan, everything you find in that city belongs to me. Do you know that God wants the first place? He told them, everything in that city, you keep not a single thing. But someone caused some trouble. In the scripture, there was this man named Achan, and he saw some really beautiful clothes when he went into the city. And he took that clothes and hid it in his home. And because of that, Israel got some big trouble. See, the trouble in your life may not have been your fault, but it's still trouble. Because of Achan's sin, he brought trouble into Israel, and 36 men died because of his trouble. But here, let me prove to you what God can do. Even in the worst trouble, God is so smart, so clever, he can turn things around to use the trouble for a good purpose. Romans 8:28, you all know this, you can say it by heart, and we know. Now I'm asking you seriously, do you know? As I've said so many times, the most important words of that verse are the first three. Because if you don't know, the rest of the verse don't mean anything. But if you know that you know that you know that all things... Can you say that? Can you say all things? Does that mean your trouble as well? It's gotten quiet. Can you say all things? Amen. All things, including your trouble, God can take and work to the good to them that love him and that are the called according to his purpose. Many times I looked at the trouble that came into my life and I hated it and I wanted it. I didn't want to deal with it. I wanted it gone. But when I went through the trouble, I began to see God's purpose and how he used the trouble. He didn't cause the trouble. Maybe I didn't cause the trouble, but he used it. He used it to do a work that turned out good. He used it to do a work. My house burnt down some years ago, completely burnt down. We left with nothing. We went to Walmart, had to buy clothes that night. But out of that, God used it to give me a better house. Now, the insurance guy told me that very night, he says, you don't have enough money to fix this house. He was telling me, you didn't have enough insurance and your house is burnt down. You can't even fix this house. But you know what God did? He used that to show me that all things are possible to them that believe. He could take a bad thing and make something brand new. He can take your trouble, your situation, and he can turn it around. He took the trouble that the three Hebrew boys were in and made them princes in Babylon. It was because they went through the fire, they went through their trouble, that Nebuchadnezzar recognized, okay, these are not ordinary people. They should be dead. Their trouble that I caused them should have killed them. But instead, they're walking around and there's someone else walking with them. Because in the midst of your trouble, there will be the Son of God. I see 4 people walking around. I threw 3 in there, but I see 4. And one of them looks like a Son of God. That's what Jesus said. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you can be peaceful. They were walking around. The Bible said when they came out there wasn't even the smell of smoke. Amen. Romans 8:28 is so famous, and yet we don't look at it in our trouble. And we know. I know that the trouble I'm in, God is going to use it. If I love him, and if I submit to his call. There are some conditions. It's not unconditional. You have to love him with your whole heart. You have to submit to him with your whole mind, soul, and you do that, God will take your trouble and he'll start working it out. He'll start opening doors. He'll start correcting Satan. He'll start making it different. He took Job's trouble, and at the end he turned out to have to pray for his detractors. See, the day of trouble is coming for the nations and for the church and for you and me. It's just a matter of living. We're going to have a day of trouble. And it would be easier to deal with it if we faced it with faith. Because the purposes for the world is as a warning. When there's trouble and there's wars and there's famine, the purposes that God is using it for is as a warning that judgment is coming. The prophet Zephaniah in Zephaniah 1:15 tells us that. He says that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of weak wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The mess that the devil started, God is going to take it as a warning to the nations. The famines and the earthquakes, he's going to use the trouble as a warning. God can take anything the devil does and use it. He took the devil trying to kill him on a cross and turned it into our salvation. He took the trouble that the devil was trying to do and made it our deliverance. God can take all things and work it to his purposes. That's why there is a good purpose even in your trouble. You need to think about that. See, there is going to be trouble, and there is trouble in the church. Because what has happened is they've brought politics and parties taking preeminence against the message of salvation and God's power. Instead, it's about man's kingdom and making different places better again, you know. I don't have to spell it out. But let me show you something in the message I preached about marking time, where the trouble in the church was. In Ezekiel 8:16, it lays it out. And here's the amazing thing about what we're seeing in Ezekiel's prophecy. It says, and he brought me, he had a vision, and he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. Now he's coming to church. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, right at the door of the church, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord. They were in church, but they were elsewhere minded. A lot of people come to church, but they're elsewhere. You see, there is trouble in the church because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to be saved. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You came to church, but you had your back. You were actually looking out there. You're here, but you're not here. They had their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, and they were actually worshiping the sun. Come to church, but worshiping the sun. See, that's trouble. But you know why there's trouble in the church? So that there be a pruning, that there be a weeding. Jesus said he was going to let the tares and the wheat grow all together. And then he's going to call his angels and he's going to sort the trouble out. You see, many times, though, the trouble is our choice. I've got myself in trouble so many times by my choice. I can't blame anyone else. I can't say it was him or her. It was me. Many times my wife warned me, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, oh, it's okay. I know what I'm doing. But did I do as David did? Did I inquire of the Lord? No, I did not. See, a lot of trouble comes because of us. We like to blame Adam and Eve, and that's good. Yeah, by one man sin entered the world, but a lot of times sin entered me because of me, not because of Adam. The trouble was my doing, my day of doing. See, David found out that he could have trouble all his life by just a few mistakes. In 2 Samuel 12:10, when the prophet confronted him with his trouble, he said, now therefore the sword will never depart from thine house. Sometimes the consequences of our sin, God may forgive us, but we still have to deal with them. We still have to deal with them. God told David, listen, I've forgiven you, but some things are going to happen in your life, because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. So sometimes the trouble is ours. We caused it. Don't look around. Don't say, is it him? Be like the disciples and own up. Is it I? That's why there's trouble. It's I. Song used to say, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. See, but the purpose is that God can turn even that is to test your faith. To qualify you to be his disciple. Even the trouble you're going through, God is looking. Isn't that what God did with Job? He said to Satan, listen, look at Job. Now there's a man who is perfect and escheweth. Look at him. He sacrificed him for his children. There is a man of integrity. That person loves me, David. God said to Satan. Satan said, listen, just let me add him. Just give me some time with him. Let me work him over. Let me bring him a day of trouble. See, maybe your trouble is because God has had a conversation about you. And Satan said, let me show you whether they're going to really be your disciple. Let me put some heat onto them. We'll see if they keep coming to church. Let me see if they fall into some temptation, if they're going to walk a straight line. Let me see if we put some females around them, what they're going to do. Or put some males around them, what they're going to do. See, there is going to be a day of trouble. You know how Job opens up and it says, as he was eating, there came a messenger, and the next day there came another messenger. It was just a week of trouble. But I love Job's answer in Job 23, verse 10. He said, but he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me. So this is a good purpose for trouble. God didn't bring the trouble, but he's going to use it to say, okay, I'm going to see what he does. I'm going to see how she goes through this, because I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman who I can give some authority to, who I can give some power to, who I can use mightily. Listen, he tried Abraham. He said, listen, Abraham, I want to see how much you really do love me. I want you to take your son, your only son, who you really love, who you waited 25, I want you to take him and offer him to me. Now that's trouble. That's trouble, because that trouble seemed to come from God. What are you going to say? Well, no. Abraham didn't even question. But at the moment he was about to do it, God said, hold up. Now I know that you love me. Now I know you will command your children. You see, God sometimes will use the trouble that Satan has put on you to see what you're going to do. There can be a good purpose in your trouble. You just have to realize that and start to get happy. Start to rejoice and tell the devil, I'm getting through this trouble. I'm going to get qualified. I'm going to be anointed. I'm going to be chosen. I'm going to be selected. After this trouble, I'm going to go pray for my friends. The ones who said I couldn't make it. The ones who said it was my fault. Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Trouble purifies. Well, that's one of the purposes of trouble, because I tell you what, when I'm in trouble, I start to pray. I start to go before God. I start to say, God, I need you. I'm in trouble. See, trouble will drive us to our knees. There's a purpose for trouble. So now, when you're in trouble, instead of fighting God and start to question him, you start praying. Start to ask God to help you. Come to him with faith, believing. When you're really in trouble, you drop everything else. You know, when you have an emergency call, you know, you drop everything else. I remember one day my wife had an accident. I was at work and she called and she said, I've had an accident. Immediately, nothing else was important. Whatever meeting, whatever I had that day, that all finished. Are you okay? That's my next question. Well, I think I am. Well, I'm coming right now. See, we want God to drop everything for us. But are we going to call upon him in the day of trouble? See, trouble can have a good purpose. Daniel said this in Daniel 12:10. He said, many shall be purified. How? Because of trouble. In fact, one of the greatest revivals will be during the tribulation, because some people are going to wash their robes and make them white. Some people are going to understand that this trouble came to drive them to their knees, for them to call on the name of the Lord. It was Israel in Egypt. Under slavery, finally, their cry came up before God. He said, I've heard their cry. It was trouble. It was the trouble that caused it. I tell you what, if we had no trouble, we would not pray. We would not pray. You all go home and find $5 million from Reader's Digest. I will not see you next week. You will not be in church. You'll be buying some house or traveling somewhere because you don't have money trouble. You'll just have a different kind of trouble. Daniel 12:10 says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wicked. They're not going to understand the trouble. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. When we see the world in trouble, if you understand what's happening, you understand why this trouble is happening. You understand that Jesus is about to come back. The message should be repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what the world trouble is. Now, I'm going to try and finish this real quick. But the body, the physical body, is designed to deal with trouble, with danger. There's a response that's called the fight or flight. And you have a choice spiritually. Are you going to fight or are you going to run? See, in the body, let me tell you what happens. There are three or four main things that happen. When you're under stress and suddenly there is a demand on the body to fight or flight, what happens is there's a hormone that's released, and it first goes to the heart, and the heart rate starts to increase. There's an increase of blood flow. The muscles start to dilate so they can absorb more of the blood. And in the lungs, there's dilation of the bronchi. That means you can take in more oxygen. The body is getting prepared to fight or flight. And in the eyes, the scientists say that the eyes, the dilation of the pupils get wider so they can take in the scene. See, in the physical, God has prepared your body for a fight. But I want to take that in the spiritual and understand that if we are Christians and you are healthy, God has prepared your body for that trouble. In the physical, the heart starts to increase the blood flow. But if you're in the spiritual health, there should be a spiritual reaction to the trouble. In Hebrews, it's the blood. Just as how in the physical, the heart starts to pump. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. When you see trouble, you start to draw near. The heart reaction should be to draw near to God. You should get ready for the trouble. In Revelation 12:11, it says, for they overcame him. They overcame the trouble. They overcame the adversary. They overcame the devil by the blood. Just as in the physical, when there is a shock, your heart starts to pump. In the spiritual, you need to get a shock and start to draw near to the blood. You need to draw near in consecration and in prayer. In the physical, there's a dilation of the lungs to bring in more air. And in John 20, Jesus told us that we should get ready because he's going to breathe on us so that we have power for the day of trouble. John 20, 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe on us every day, every moment, so that when the trouble comes, we are ready. We have capacity to fight the enemy, that we can not flight, but we can fight. And in the physical, it says that your pupils dilate. They get bigger so you can take in the danger. And in Psalms 121:1, David understood this. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? No, my help doth not come from the hills. My help cometh from the Lord. How are you going to know that? Lifting up your eyes. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what Hebrews 12:2 says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I'm running through a lot of scriptures here. Acts 26:18. He prayed that they should open their eyes. This is the results of being ready to deal with trouble. When trouble comes, God can take it and make it a good purpose. I want you today to examine all the trouble in your life and say, Lord, I'm going to look for the good purpose in this. Maybe it's to humble me. Maybe it's to purify me. Maybe it's to drive me to my knees. But I'm going to look for the good purpose because I stand on Romans 8:28. And we know. You all said it, right? Nobody didn't say it. And we know. Say it one more time. And we know. One more time like you believe it. Okay, you need to tell the devil that every morning when you face the trouble. And we know, and I know that all things, whatever the trouble is for this day, all things, God is going to take my trouble and find a good purpose for it. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Psalms 50 verse 15 here says this, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Isn't that an amazing verse? Isn't that an amazing verse? If you could stand with me, I will trouble you no more. Amen. For about 15 years, David's life was nothing but trouble. I can imagine at times when he was running from Saul, he couldn't understand what's going on. You called me, you anointed me, and there's nothing but trouble. If you go to Psalms 107, there is 1, 2, 3, 4 verses where he mentions trouble. And he gives his answer to what you're going through. Trouble should make us cry out. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Psalms 107, verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. This must have been the verse. You understand this was sung, so this must have been the chorus. Then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. One of those verses has got to work for you. He can either save you or he can bring you out. He can either deliver you or he can take you out. But David wrote down every way God can save you. He can take you out of trouble. I'm going to end with the verse I started with, Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Do you know his name today? Do you know who he is? Because it's the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. You know what I think that means? When we pray, God sends the angels. When Peter was locked up in prison and facing execution, the Bible said the church prayed without ceasing. He was asleep and suddenly an angel was beside him. Send thee help from the sanctuary. When we pray, God does miracles. When Daniel prayed, the angel was dispatched. Verse 6, now know I the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him. If you're God's anointed, he will hear you. Let me say that again. He will hear you from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, I mean in human power and other means. But we will remember, again, it's the name of the Lord. Those people who trust in foolishness and in man's power, it says, they are brought down and fallen. But we are risen. Some time ago, the Lord told me, arise, because this is the day of trouble. But as David said, he will deliver you. This altar is open if you want prayer. I will pray with you. But I want you today to understand there is a purpose in trouble. God didn't cause it. He didn't make it. But he will use it. And he can make a good thing out of it. He can deliver you in the day of trouble. He can change your life. He can give you a new direction. He can take away hurt. He can cancel pain. He can heal diseases. How do I know that? Because he's done some of that for me. I know of what I talk, because he's a deliverer. Cried unto the Lord in the day of trouble, and he delivered. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service, but I want you to remember this. God can take a purpose out of your trouble and work something wonderful out of it, because we know that all things, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God, even for the day of trouble. Lord, we know you did not plan it for us. Lord, some of it is our own doing. But Lord, we know that when we come to you and cry out with our whole heart, Lord, that you can turn around any situation. Father, we just thank you today. Oh God, we ask that this word, Lord God, will move in our hearts, Lord God, that we will cry out in our day of trouble, that we will come running to you, Lord God, because you are a deliverer. You are an answer of prayer. Father, we ask for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, who's going through some situations, who is going through some tribulation, Lord, to come to you, because you said, in me, we shall have peace. Hallelujah. In the world, we will have tribulations. But Lord, in you, we shall have peace. Lord, we look to you right now, for you are the author and finisher of our faith. We ask right now for deliverance and healing.